sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm still drunk because it's my birthday weekend.
Yeah, John.
Or not right now. I guess when you're listening to this, it's not my birthday weekend. Probably 3 weeks.
3 weeks ago.
This moment. Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably still going. You're still partying. It's like a...
Still partying hard.
Still going hard.
My good friend, also named John, gifted me a six-pack of beer. Just funny, like, I know he knows I drink, but we've never, like, gone out for drinks together. He's not really a drinker. And he gifted me a 9% per volume six-pack of beer.
Nice. Thoughtful.
Very thoughtful. It's basically a conservative way of drinking alcohol because you don't need to drink that many of them, and then they're still there.
Unless you're an alcoholic.
So I've already finished the six pack.
Yeah, I just ordered more.
It's like if I buy this in bulk, I can save money in the.
I can save money because I won't be drinking as much. Sure.
I only spent $900. It's great.
I'm saving everywhere. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Immaculate. And so we shall give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts. We'll get and then go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we'll go back to TV Corner, reviewing Chucky Season 3, Episode 4, Dress to Kill.
And I'm John.
Sorry, did I skip that?
No, okay. No, I just never said it. Like, I said my name was John, but it's not.
I mean, it's your birthday. We could just start the whole show again. If you want, start over. Yeah, hello, welcome to the Skeleton Boys.
This is a horny boys podcast.
Horny.
Whoa. Yeah.
Chucky Season 3, Episode 4, Dress to Kill. I think I'll get the ball rolling here. I think I am content on what this show is this season. Meaning...
Yeah. Just had a really rough couple of episodes and then I'm like, this is okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be a mix of things that are great to good to bad to awful. Like, it's just gonna it's a full spectrum of things. Yeah. And what I mean by awful specifically is believability. I don't think I can like suspend my disbelief and believe that like people are dying actively in the White House and they're covering it up. Like, I just can't quite suspend my disbelief for the fun of the show that it's trying to have. So,
and it's also Don Mancini is like doing the wrong thing. Like, now every other country that's watching the show is going to try to make an animatronic doll to kill the president. Or a voodoo doll, I don't know. Fun little cameos, right? We got Neo Vardalos, Sarah Squirm, aka Sarah Sherman, was in this.
Yeah.
But she wasn't able to squirm her way out of this episode.
Spoilers. She died.
She died. Her face fell off.
I was unfamiliar with her. She looked too similar to the first assistant that got her throat slashed. And I didn't...
The redhead girl?
Woman? Was she redhead?
Yeah, the redhead, curly redhead.
No. That's the... Not their mom.
Short, curly redhead hair. Not long, curly redhead hair.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember. So, I just made this connection. They look the same. Yeah. I clearly think that I just made the connection there. One thing I did notice, which actually makes sense, that I never put together, because I have a poor attention span, is that they think, the little kid thinks that his dead brother's spirit in the Chucky doll.
So, to be fair, I think this is the first episode that kind of explains.
Great. Hey, okay.
This is the what their younger brother's name or what other brother's name was.
Okay, so I was trying to mea culpa that, but it's literally just revealed that.
That's what the kid's name was that died. That
So we can surmise that like he is
Joseph.
Joseph. Right? That's right. Yeah, yeah. That he believes Joseph is in the doll, or
I think it's more. Because I mean, Chucky's alive, right? So I'm gonna think the kid is a kid, even though Chucky called him stupid. and I thought that was funny.
Because he was like,
"You're not too bright, are you, kid?"
Because he started doing his Chucky voice, right? And then the kid calls him out on that. He's like, "Hey, you don't sound like Joseph," or something like that. Or
yeah.
So, what do you think happened here? My guess is Devin Sawa killed him, the kid, or this kid is responsible for his brother's death.
I don't. They made it seem like it was a tragic accident. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the kid got Eric Clapton out of a.
Too soon, bro. What the, oh my god!
I feel bad for the kid, but fuck Eric Clapton, right?
Yeah, obviously, but jeez.
Knock, 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 knocking out the window. I mean, on heaven's door.
Tears in heaven.
It's gonna be a rambunctious episode.
Yeah, we're going for it.
I'm not hungover anymore because I started drinking this 30,000% beer.
This is unfiltered you.
Unfiltered me, yeah. Even though I don't think people were paying attention, but I paced the hell out of myself last night.
Oh, yeah, me
like,
too.
Like, I had, like, three drinks waiting for me, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Every time somebody brought me another one, like, oh, I got you this. I'm like, put it next to the others.
That's funny, yeah.
I'll get through them eventually.
Yeah. Unfiltered John. Do you have the video of the kid falling out? Don't tell. Here, I'll send you a link.
I have it set to, what's the name of, that famous tune from that old television show where it's that dude,
Benny Hill.
Yeah, Benny Hill.
Okay. Yeah.
That's great.
Put a lot of work into that.
I do a reverse and then play. So it's like,
it dies 50
so
times.
Up. Yeah. Jeez.
Wish show went dark, man. Jeez.
Mind you, it is a horror movie podcast.
Oh, wow.
Not a easy listening Christian podcast.
Wow, yeah. I don't even know where to go.
As we
go from there.
As we continue to watch Christian-based movies, I don't know. Chucky went through a lot of trouble to do a lot of stuff in this episode, including climbing in between the walls.
He's the Phantom, right? He's like the Phantom of the Opera. Yeah, yeah.
Because his face is like getting old or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's funny.
I just liked so he crawled into this area, and I feel like they made it kind of seem like, well, it's because he's small, he can crawl into this area. I'm like, no, somebody had to install this chandelier.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's what I mean, dude. Like, none of this White House stuff, you know, passed the smell test at all, dude. None of this is logical at all. Another thing I hated was. Okay, so explain to me. The kids go infiltrate the Halloween
by dressing up as slightly different versions of Chucky.
But why? They both, all of these kids have lost their parents. Don't you think they would hate Chucky? Like, why are they somehow?
I thought that was a dumb added note. Like, yeah,
that's like one of those like fourth wall breaking. Like, look how funny this is. But it's like, I don't know. To me, it didn't work because it's like these kids have. Technically, have gone through a lot, with Chucky and had, you know, family members, all their parents killed by him, and yet they're dressing up as him and they seem to be perfectly okay with it.
It felt like everybody else dressed pretty modestly and they looked like they were going to a bar to go fuck random people. Like, I was like, why? And then the way Devin was dressed, he looked like a child also.
I know.
Like, what's going on? Like, it's so weird.
He's like the horniest one of the three. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. Yeah, that was an odd choice. And I get it. It's like, ha, 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 they're dressed like Chucky. But it's like, dude, this doesn't work in the story, like, at all.
No.
Yeah.
But did this episode turn you around on Tiffany?
I thought the Tiffany stuff was good. Normally, I'm critical of the stuff. But I actually thought it worked. And it had a brutal, gruesome death, in my opinion.
That was cool. What's her name? Nia
Vardalos, I believe.
Vardalos?
Yeah.
Yes, Nia Vardalos.
The actress from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes. Yeah. Good stuff.
She's in prison. She plays like a Martha Stewart-ish type in prison. So they're kind of riffing on that. Yes. And then Tiffany has been screaming about wanting her book, her Voodoo for Dummies. And she finally gets it. And she's able to use it against I think the character's name was Evelyn, and because Evelyn passes judgment on her for something, right? Like
because she murdered her sister, so
that's right.
Evelyn,
yeah,
miss what do you call it? Like, she was like, oh, I love doing the Big Chill, and she was like, that actually wasn't me, that was like my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny though, because at this point Tiffany was so adamant about saying like, my name's Tiffany, I'm not Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
But she still said it was my sister. But I think she was just trying to like keep face because she was a big fan of Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also on like death row, right? So I don't understand why she was being
judgy.
Yeah.
You committed crimes and killed people, how awful.
So. Yeah. Now I hate you. I'm going to treat you poorly because you're a mass murderer. I think if I found out somebody was a mass murderer, I'd be like, hey, please.
Don't kill.
I think you're nice and cool. I'm going to walk away and not throw my cigarette at you or whatever.
I think the thing I liked so far consistently this season has been the kills. I think they've been really good. Like,
yeah.
More, they always go a stretch further than you think, because it's this airs on cable, so you think there would be some sort of like limitation to how far and what far they can go and what they show. But I'm always impressed about what they get away with, and this was another example of that. And this one actually goes on. She like voodoo dolls her and can just controlling her, and I was again surprised about how far it went.
Great job.
Yeah.
She now I'm gonna put in my vote for she. If they reboot the Evil Dead series, not with Fede Alvarez, if they reboot the Evil Dead series, and just trying to recast an Ash character, I think Nia should play it and do the hand thing, because she did a great job of like,
yeah,
pretending to be possessed by a voodoo doll.
Yeah,
or however that works.
Mm-hmm. Anything else major we want to talk about real quick? What else happened here that was noteworthy?
Well, Chucky at the very end of this does get his last four kills in the White House, because the chandelier falls and kills four people.
That's right. I am.
And you think Sarah Sherman, I should say, was spared by the chandelier, but then her face falls off?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I'm sure that happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
As chandeliers go, sure, why not?
Yeah, I didn't understand why her face melted off the way it did, but
and it made it seem like Devin was super close to the whole action too, because what's his name? Jake ran like Devin with his like action hero physique now.
Cowboy hat.
Yeah. I just want it to be like a deleted scene where like they fall and then they just start fucking right there because they're like, this was hot.
Those
people were murdered.
I don't want to see two people with no chemistry have sex. I mean, I could just watch regular porn.
I could just go back to college, I guess.
Yeah, there's like...
I mean, my college.
So, yeah. The other thing is Devin Sawa saw Chucky, and I'm assuming the way he dressed, he had that moment of recognition that maybe it was his son.
Oh, Joseph. Yeah.
So it seems like that's, I don't know if it's a, can call it a mystery yet, but that could be, his death could be a secret revealed, or we haven't, they're going to explain to us how he died. There's maybe significance to it.
I thought maybe Chucky killed him, but
it looks like he died on his own, but yeah, that's always in play, right? I mean, he could have had something to do with it. I wouldn't put it past him.
I would say Chucky also had a rule about what age he would kill somebody.
He did. Remember he has when, said the, that before, yeah. Yeah.
When he was talking to the other Chuckies.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly that's a hard and fast rule, right? He's like cutting a chandelier. There was no guarantee who he was going to fucking murder. He just wanted So, I guess that's more of a promise from Don Mancini. He's like, I don't kill kids.
I'll have them groomed on camera, but I will not kill them on camera. Even though I killed that other kid that was rolling a Batman and Robin.
That's true. Oh, he did blow that one kid up. That random kid that showed up for one episode.
Yeah. The annoying kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no loss there. Cool. That's it for this episode. And you made a
mid-season finale.
No, I was about to say, like, you brought up a great point that it felt like a mid-season finale. And we'll see how it picks up. Maybe how the show will be a little different, maybe a little more focused now. Or not. Yeah. I don't know. It's Chucky. Know. Okay. Yeah.
Fast and loose rules.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Okay. Let's move over to our main review of Immaculate. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I sure will, because I finished this 20,000% beer. Okay. Sorry. Here are my notes. For Immaculate, coming in at number 3 for a 5-word plot summary, perhaps more of a question. Is this called Christian Science?
Do people know what Christian Science is? Or is that like a Valley thing?
No. There's a fucking GCU, Grand Canyon University, is a Christian Science university.
Oh. It's not what you think it is. It's kind of an oxymoron. Christian Science. Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for Immaculate, this is not first.
I knew that was coming. I knew something was coming. Yep.
And coming in at number 1 for Immaculate, Holy Spirit came inside American.
Again, that's 6 words. All right.
Oh yeah.
Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney.
Holy Spirit came inside American.
It's good.
That's 5 words for one.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's great.
It's a ejaculate joke because she's pregnant.
Spoiler. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? That's like saying Sweeney has breasts. Yes.
What?
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney has breasts.
It's also like, I even if I didn't know anything about this movie, like, why would you name the movie Immaculate? Like, how often do you hear the word immaculate if it's not associated with, like, the birth of Jesus? Like, I don't know.
That's right.
Immaculate Conception.
Immaculate Conception. I will go on to say, I think this movie is fine, perfectly okay. Is it, you know, a banger all the way through? No. No.
It's a little boring for a good chunk, I would say.
My sort of thing is, if you're a fan of Sydney Sweeney at all, this is a perfect vehicle movie for her. You'll be into this movie. And she's good in it, too. She's good, too. I know that she's kind of wants to be a movie star, maybe a little overexposed in her culture and everything, and people obsess about her. But I think this is actually, from everything I've seen her, she's pretty good. So, and she's very young. So I'm assuming people with this ambition will probably stick around, you know, and get better generally. But I did enjoy her performance. I just thought the movie was a little flat on the story. And it has almost, the biggest problem, I think, is that it's almost beat for beat the same story as the first Holman.
Yeah, which I know we've talked about. This movie was presented to Sydney Sweeney, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So it been kicking around. I just think maybe they didn't try to do much more with the script.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're saying... Yeah. No, I gotcha. That it felt... Do you think this movie felt like it was from that time, like maybe 5 years ago?
A little bit. Because even the reveal... a little wacky. I don't know, in retrospect. I just accepted it because I was like, oh, well, they need to explain this. But the more I thought about it, I was like, what a fucking weird turn. It's not even, at least in the first Omen you had, which I'm going to attempt to not compare it so much, but even in the first Omen you had, oh, it's like this big cult religious thing. We've been worshiping this thing for a long time and that's what this is or whatever. But no, this was like a weird, it gave me the same sort of reaction I had with Don't Breathe when he's going to turkey baster that woman. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Another comparison I'll make it to is, so in the late 90s, early 2000s, Hollywood had this idea of putting young people in movies. So that's how we get She's All That, Bring It On, all of these teenage rom-coms, and a lot of those younger actors got into horror movies. And
He's the Man, right? Or what is that one with Amanda Bynes?
Your friend
that I saw at a coffee your best shop buddy. Recently.
Coffee buddy over here, Amanda Bynes.
I did. I mean, aside from all the negative comments and the things that have happened to her, I did geek out. I was like, oh shit, that's Amanda Bynes. That's so cool.
Yeah, I felt.
Which I've worked with some high caliber people and I didn't care, but I was like, that's Amanda Bynes. I don't know why I got so excited.
So it's like there was a ton of horror movies made with young actors to the point it was literally it felt like every other week there was some horror movie that there was going to come out or whatever. And I feel like this movie feels of that time, kind of a throwback of that time, because you have a popular actor, young popular actress in a movie that's just okay. It's just fine.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of those movies back then were just, they're trying to pump them out so fast. They're not really high quality.
They got worse and worse. Yeah. And for the most part, they were all just Japanese remakes of a movie that came out literally months before.
Right, exactly, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, Shannon Sossaman, right? One Missed Call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is how uneventful a lot of Immaculate was. We are talking about early 2000s.
I'm setting the stage for, because I just think because there's not much here in terms of the story, and there really was no twist or shock
except for like that one thing. Other than that, it's a very paint by numbers kind of horror movie.
Yeah, I just feel like in terms of like the story, she's an American who goes to Italy, who joins this covenant or whatever, and she's very devout in her faith, even though she's questioned and all that stuff.
Holy Spirit comes in her
again and again and again, and she. But I felt like what's great, what you kind of expect to happen is that she meets these memorable people, other nuns at different points, an older one or somebody young, close to her. And for the life of me, the character stuff was just like, so there's a mean one, there's her friend, there's the mean older nun teacher. It's very like very stereotyped, very broad characterizations of people.
I think I had the same issue with the first Omen, and I think it's all because of the habits, right? I couldn't differentiate the mean nun from her friend sometimes.
Yeah, and I feel like this movie's even worse. I feel like movie's even like harder to kind of. They're so like
they don't have character.
Like, thinly written. You know, like, yeah, they're very thinly written and very just the most obvious way to have written it. Like if you were to do this, it would be you would have a mean one and a funny one and a wise one and the mean one and the one that's like has secrets, and it's just it's all kind of like paint by numbers.
The happy one, yeah. the sleepy one, the grumpy one.
Almost right. I mean, it's basically yeah. almost that. Like it's
we're referencing is Snow White and the Seven Horrors.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Nice.
Great film. Google it. Don't Google it. I don't know what's gonna pop up. I'm afraid now.
Yeah, and then you had that one actor, the father, who did I say? What's the actor's name? Damn, this is why.
Oh, Dominic. Or wait, Dom.
He's the young version of.
You know what's stupid? It's because every time I'm about to say like Dominic, I always think of Purcell. So I'm always like Dominic Purcell, like this one guy that nobody remembers.
Dominic Cooper. Cooper.
Cooper.
Cooper, yeah. This guy's a lookalike for Dominic Cooper. I low-key thought, like, is that Dominic Cooper? I was like, damn, what is he doing in this movie?
How do you stay so young? No, just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And then they had the older priest, right? The older father. And I don't know. I kept forgetting he was there because he's mostly only in the confessional for like a big runtime, big part of the runtime. Yeah, I don't know. The characters weren't that good. There's not much else I can say about that. It's like,
which
is that one friend, or I don't know who that lady is that screamed at her, like, I should have been the one, and tries to drown her. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, there's aside from the ending, there really wasn't anything else memorable. There's a lot of like jump scares and
they weren't even that scary.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I think we both watched this on Hulu, much like everybody else is probably watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And Hulu is stupid and had this thing like, oh no, it's good, we're giving you an opportunity to, you know, you if you had like a Dolby sound system, this would be amazing. I'm like, fuck off, like nobody's gonna do that. Just like adjust the sound so I can hear what's going on. I had to read the movie.
Yeah, Hulu, I was messaging you, and Hulu's always been that way. They have terrible audio. I'm not sure what the disconnect there is.
Lame. Because so that might have been a big part of my judgment towards this movie was like, I don't like she would turn and be like, ah, and I'm like, what is she screaming at?
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of ghost nuns that don't do anything for the story.
Mm-hmm.
They have absolutely nothing to do with the story. Like they're just there. And I think we briefly talked about Oh, there is one takeaway from this movie that I thought was good, because I didn't really grow up drying my clothes on wire and string all that much. That was something I did at my grandmother's house, but, you know, for the most part in my adult life, I just use a washer and dryer. But logically, it makes sense. There was a conversation they were having about, hey, make sure you put the bigger sheets in the middle and the smaller stuff up top, so when the wind goes, it hits the bigger sheets in the middle. I was like, yeah, that's, of course, that's smart. That's obvious. And that's what I'm going to give this movie. It gives a lot of good life advice.
Good obvious rating.
Yeah. 9.5 out of 10.
I did for a long time have that at my house. We a la metal line of stuff to dry clothes.
I guess what also I should explain is this was several lines in a row, not just like one or two.
Yeah, it was more fit for the amount of people at the Covenant, and like you could do more drying. We're talking about clothes drying. That's what we about this movie. Yeah. Good clothes drying. Good stuff.
This is your at home life tips.
What did you think of Miss what's her name? Sydney Sweeney. What'd you think?
I thought she was good. I mean, I think there was certain times where I felt like, oh, okay, she's acting.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I thought it was great.
Can you elaborate on that? Because that's interesting. Like, what would be an example of that?
I can't really give you a good example, because this will definitely be the areas of the movie where it's kind of bland and boring.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, so I'm just kind of paying attention and be like, okay, she's like really acting to be scared, or she's acting to do this. Like, it's fine. Whatever.
Okay.
Like, she's doing like a serviceable amount of fear or whatever to progress the movie. But I think when the important moments happen later, she does a really good job.
Yeah, because I see the same thing. What I relate to that is...
Jenna Ortega?
What is it? God. No. What is it? What's it? Wonka. So Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, Timothy Chalamet. Yeah. Same, yeah.
There are parts where he's going for it. He plays, you know, a little kooky, a little crazier, younger version of Wonka. And there's parts of it where he's like completely sold on it, and there's other parts where he's like just reading the lines.
Well, you heard it here, folks. I had no clue. Rolando's never told me that he's seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't even seen this movie.
I mean, true. It's, you don't look at my letterbox? Is that what you're confessing?
I only look at Fred Alvarez. Scott's and Fred Alvarez's letterbox.
Yeah. Just to hate, watch him just be like, whoa, what is this? Trash.
Stupid.
Look,
we went to great lengths to not use CGI. Look at this. Cool, you built a set.
Yeah. It's funny. Those are two of our least favorite people right now, right? Not really Scott. Yeah. I'm talking about Jenny Ortega and Alvarez.
Oh, for Alvarez. Yeah,
for different reasons. But it's funny because they're like coming out with stuff, right? She's kind of doing like press for Beetlejuice. So she's all over my Instagram feed.
Justice for Melissa Barrera. Bring her back in movie.
She's doing great, man. That was a great movie.
She was fantastic. I thought that movie was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't.
It's been a minute since we've had a fun movie.
But okay, so overall you thought Sydney Sweeney was pretty good.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah, I liked it.
I just think the movie wasn't great all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think she did it for being top billed, kind of the sole selling point of this movie. I thought she did really well as well. Surprisingly, like, I guess I shouldn't say that, because like I don't have any expectation of her. I only know her as a celebrity, you know?
Oh, naked. Oh,
yes. Yes. Look at my home screen. No. Euphoria. Just boobs everywhere. No, but yeah, as I'm starting to watch more of her work now, I'm actually so far enjoying what I've seen so far.
Yeah. No, yeah. She's not bad at all.
She also has a small cameo in, what is it? Silver Lake. Under the Silver Lake.
She's in that?
Yep.
When did that movie come out? Like 2019?
Around there. 2017, 2019, somewhere around there. Yeah.
So it had to have been right at the beginning of Euphoria, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't know her bio. She did look younger.
Hmm. Okay.
But yeah.
Just another movie I need to give another chance because apparently it's good.
I loved it. By the way, I didn't understand it. I tried watching it a couple of years ago and I got like 15 minutes in and I was like, this is stupid, and I turned it off. But then
I've done that like three times.
But rewatching it, finishing it, really liked it. Also saw a couple of videos on YouTube that enhanced the experience. Also really good. It's a good movie.
Did you know Sydney Sweeney? I know we're not really talking about the movie. Did you know Sydney Sweeney was also, she played a young version of one of the characters in The Ward, John Carpenter's last movie.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's last movie, because he was like, after that, he was like, ah, fuck it. I'm not doing movies anymore.
Yeah, this is too much work.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. This is lame.
Go play video games.
Yeah. Find me on Twitch, John Carpenter. At Twitch.
Alrighty. If you don't have any other thoughts, do you want to just go into spoilers?
Yeah.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So, big spoiler here, right? That the Covenant impregnates her... I don't remember the motivation.
They're all super scientists.
Uh-huh.
They do introduce, like, oh, there's a couple things we have here. Like, there's the fucking... God, I'm blanking on what the name of these things called. But the nail, the way they built nails back in this era... One of the nails that was driven into either Jesus Christ's like feet or one of his hands or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that one that was supposed to be the actual one. But, you know, for the most part, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to believe it because it's like
it's a movie.
Italian church.
Yeah.
Yeah. but also very unbelievable. They're like, everybody just sees an artifact, but we see blood. So we can recreate Christ. I'm like, yeah, blood stays fresh forever. And I'm sure it was his blood. There's no way they reused all these nails. I'm sure they had a plethora of nails to go around.
Well, a good nail goes a long way. So
it's true. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's probably a lot of DNA.
So what happened here? They take what they think is Jesus' DNA and impregnate Sydney Sweeney, like her first night there.
Yes, which is. There's a cold open part that I had forgotten about, where this woman is running from the Covenant at night, and there's a bunch of nuns that don't have faces for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah.
And she's trying to run out. She's about to get out, and she's pregnant. And they like snap her leg in half with the gate, and they, I guess she doesn't give birth, but they bury her alive in a coffin, and that's the end of that.
Played by the brilliant Simona Tabasco. She was on White Lotus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's good. She played an Italian hooker.
Good for her.
Yeah, just the same part. It was like...
Good for, yeah, it's only upsetting to be typecast if you work all the time. I don't know what I'm trying to say. She's working. Good for her. So that's the cold open, and then they kind of explain after Sydney Sweeney tries to run away. I think it's mostly because like they find out she's pregnant. There's this whole thing. They give a ceremony, and you know, everybody's treating her like a queen. Yeah, but she starts to, like, when she's throwing up, she starts to lose teeth, and she's like, this isn't good. And they won't do anything to look at her. And she fakes losing the baby. And they're trying to rush her to the hospital because there's no other choice.
Mm.
And unfortunately, one of the nuns is like, oh, she lied. Like, she killed a chicken and pretended it was, you know, she lost the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because Sydney Sweeney's character is fucking stupid. And
like, why? You know, what do you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, use the chicken, kill it. Don't hide it under your bed. Probably, you
know. Like, she could have
anywhere else.
She could have plucked it and ate it, or I don't know.
Dump it in the kitchen. I don't know. Like,
you know, it's true. Yeah, take it back to the kitchen.
But anyway,
okay.
they take her back and they explain the whole situation. Like, oh, we have the scientist here, which the guy looked oddly very Nazi-ish. Is that fair to say? That rando dude that was like in the sciencey area of their ancient Italian castle thing,
mm-hmm.
a covenant, mm-hmm. convent or whatever. Yeah, they explain what's going on and how they've tried several times before. There was a bunch of weird fetuses. And then they brand her foot as a reminder. I didn't quite understand that. I don't know. I guess the dialogue and some of the things don't make sense. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like,
you weren't raised Christian, so that's branding of the feet.
I was. Yeah, it was
very common practice.
Yeah, it's gotta keep the herd in check.
Yeah. yeah.
And then Sydney Sweeney just kind of accepts her fate for what seems to be a couple more months. I don't know, because she gets bigger.
She's having the baby pretty fast, right? Like, it's coming. It's not quickly, a normal, yeah. like, pregnancy cycle. She's having it pretty fast, it seems like.
And then she goes on a murder spree. And then this is where the movie, like, really kicks off, which is unfortunate because it's, like, the last 15 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm.
This is the part I liked, yeah, too.
I was like, oh, this is cool. She just goes apeshit and starts, even though she's, like, about to pop because she's starting to have like contractions. She murders all the suspects, like the people that were like keeping her there, including the old lady that was like, oh no, you shouldn't have done this, blah blah blah, you're evil. And she fucking snaps her neck, right? Or like, what does she do? She's like something like that. And then she kills the older priest with a rosary, I think, and kills one of the scientists in the thing. And then our main guy that looks like Dominic, what's his
Cooper.
Name? Dominic Cooper. And he's the guy that puts up the most fight. Like, she literally sets him on fire and it explodes, but he still was able to run and grab a fire extinguisher and he's able to knock the fucking door down
mm-hmm.
while she's running through the cavernous area, like the maze area of the under the parish or what. I'm just like going to give it 1,000 different names. And you can see him kind of like looking for her. And then she turns and sees a dead body, which I'm assuming is supposed to be the girl from the beginning.
Mm.
But I guess that doesn't make sense because they buried her alive, but whatever.
Simona Tabasco. Yeah. I just enjoy saying her name. So
so much Tabasco.
Yeah,
and then she's about to make it out free because classic horror movie trope, the only way out is a very small opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like, it reminded me of The Descent, which made me think like somebody's gonna grab her foot, but also if you just watch any movie, you know she's gonna get pulled back in. Like, there's no, you know what's gonna happen, and she does. But luckily she decided to pocket the nail for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so they can't do it anymore. I guess that was the point. I guess like she was trying to steal these things so they don't do this shit anymore,
right? Because those are things they valued or whatever.
But now the thing's tainted because she killed the main priest by stabbing him in the neck and he bled out.
Right.
And then you think that's the end of it, but then she's having horrible contractions, you know, because there's a close-up on her face for what feels about 30 minutes. It's like more like 2 minutes, but of her screaming, which I'm sure a lot of prepubescent people would enjoy.
No, but I mean, this is like blood curdling, like I've been fucking pain type yeah. screams. Is it like
sure,
soft, nice. Gentle yeah. moaning? So you didn't buy her
anyway,
screams.
I'm not going to go into my sex life, right? No, I was kidding.
I think you have.
No. All right. Well, if you want to read my blog, just kidding. Yeah, she does all this, and then you're aware that she's going to give birth to this thing. And judging by the Which, again, I just read that there's like a splash. I'm like, that's gross. I wish I could have heard it, but Hulu doesn't want me to hear this.
Yeah.
And then what I did hear was the baby had a weird sounding pitch to it. So you could only assume it came out like an abomination or something. Not to be confused with Hulk's main nemesis.
Yeah.
Unless it
Tim
was,
Roth's abomination.
Tim Roth's
origin story. Or Tim, for the Tim Roth version of Abomination, yeah.
And not the one from She-Hulk.
No, no.
More so the one from the movie. No.
First Abomination. Yeah. Nick Nolte showed up.
And yeah, she just grabs a big rock and goes to town smashing this baby until it stops crying. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, I think that was the best. Like the last like 15, 20 minutes was the best sequence of the whole movie, which is basically just like her escape and then her having this baby and then her killing it. She even like rips out the umbilical cord with her teeth.
Oh yeah, that was gross.
That was fucking gross. But it works because of the way it's shot. It's very primal, very like she's clearly just is doing it unemotionally, you know, going through the mechanics of it just so she can fucking get away from this thing.
Yeah. I just didn't understand how she was biting the umbilical cord off if she allegedly was losing her teeth, but all her teeth were there. So,
yeah.
Weird. I got questions, Sydney Sweeney.
So we can assume what? She had some sort of... I thought she was having like the son of Satan or something. But what you're saying is there's less stakes in it. It's like it's just in a weird cult baby abomination like you described.
I think that's where, to me, that's kind of where it landed. Otherwise, it would be Damien, right? It would be the Omen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just these, you know, this parish is just full of more of a cult-like group of people that don't know what they're doing.
Fanatical type of people.
Just making, you know, trying to impregnate all these women. And I think one of the other things was like they brought Sydney Sweeney there because she was an exact match to that DNA or some bullshit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Her metachlorine count was high, so they brought her over. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. whatever movie is fucking.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the moments, too, where I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's get
past
this.
She's the one.
What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
You didn't have to explain that. I kind of figured because the whole movie revolves around her. I didn't need
it's true, yeah.
This too.
Yeah, of course she has to be American. The savior of this perfect DNA is American. There's plenty of people in Italy. Simona Tabasco. Are you telling me Simona Tabasco didn't work out? Nonsense.
What's her name? Monica Bellucci.
Monica Bellucci.
That's about it. I don't think there's any
there's
more
no
Italians.
More Italian women. It's just only two. It's only two Italian actresses. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts or do you want to rate the movie?
Yeah, we could just rate it. I think
I'm done with it.
Well, because it's just so straightforward. There's not a lot of... You don't have to really think about this movie. They explain everything.
You did agree with the end. That was the best part of the movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's like... That part's really fun to watch. That's great. But I don't know if I'd be able to sit through the whole movie again.
No, yeah. But it was like... Probably the best thing about the movie. That stood out, right? Okay.
And unfortunately, I said I wouldn't do it, but if... You haven't seen the first Omen and you want to watch this movie, probably watch this first because then it's not a horrible movie. It's just not my favorite ever. And then the first Omen is a lot of fun.
I suggest the opposite. I think you should watch the first Omen and then Immaculate because I feel like the first Omen does better jobs with very similar plot and themes and than this movie. That way you can compare and contrast between them. Because I feel like if you watch Immaculate first, you're going to be like, well, how much better is The Omen going to be? And then
it's pretty dramatic, actually.
But then you're unmotivated to watch it. Oh, I've already seen it then. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to watch.
Yeah, I guess so. It's unfortunate that the stories are almost identical.
How'd that happen? They literally got released so close together. Also, that's
very close together. Yeah. And we're, you know, talking about how this script was presented to Sydney Sweeney in 2017, right, or something like that.
A version of it.
Well, no, I don't think 27. I think when she was 17. Sorry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Sydney Sweeney decided after all these years, now that she's got more money to produce it, get it done. And I find it hard to believe how coincidental it is that the first Omen came out at basically the same time.
Yeah. Well, she has that sweet Madame Web money, so.
Oh, yeah. Fucking excellent film, Madame Web.
Okay. Let's go and rate this. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Immaculate 4.5 sexy spooky bones.
Okay, I think I'll go 4. Feels good, but 5. I'd do a 5. I think it's average. It's a pretty average movie.
It's like I want to give it a 5, but only for the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I just found the stuff. Yes, it is everything we described. It's boring or whatever, but I didn't find it particularly offensively bad. Yeah, yeah, I didn't find it like terrible. It just wasn't like, it just had a hard time keeping my attention, which that's my fault for having a poor attention span. Yeah. No, but yeah, I'll give it 5. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.